It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. You just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the ninth inning, stretch drive, whatever you want to call it, of Primetime Sports. I got to come up with a new thing. Friday, that, July 31st.
Isn't that the seventh inning, pal?
Yeah, I guess
we were taking a lap in here, and it's been a great week. It's been Alex and Major League Baseball, thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. It's been a great non-waiver trade deadline, and again, thank you to Alex Anthopoulos for making it a memorable one. It's Jeff Blair and Paul Jones. Bob McCown will be back in the seat on Monday, and I'll be back doing my regular 9 to 12 gig as well as Baseball Central.
You did that this week?
On Tuesday.
You did that this week? Oh, no, sorry. You did both shows this week.
I didn't do my regular show. Stelic was in. It was nice hearing Gord Stelic's voice in the morning.
Yes, yes.
So there you go. David Price, just to get you caught up to date, David Price will be pitching Monday against the Minnesota Twins. David Price finally made it. Finally made it to the Rogers Center. After a flat tire, there he is. You can see it if you got TV. He's walking in carrying his, oh man, for a Vandy guy, he's carrying North Carolina shoes.
It's the color.
It's the baby color. It's what's up blue. With that?
It's a baby blue.
And there's David Price going into the Blue Jays clubhouse for the first time. Finally here after getting a flat tire someplace in Michigan. Dude, I can't believe he's rocking the North Carolina colors, and he's a Vandy guy.
Yeah, but I mean, different conference. Vandy's SEC. North Carolina's at least ACC. So.
All right. Still, anyhow.
Maybe he's a Jordan fan.
Could be. So right? David Price, folks in Toronto, he's off the road. He's in the friendly, warm embrace of his teammates, and David Price will hold a news conference after tonight's game, which I'm sure all the beat reporters are just thrilled as hell. About Joe Siddle is our Blue Jays color analyst. Joe Siddle joins us from the Rogers Center. Hello, Mr. Siddle.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good, Joe.
We're doing well. Well, we saw David Price walk into the clubhouse, so we know he's there physically. He's
That's a good start.
He survived the drive up, so everything's good. We'll talk a little bit about David Price and Troy Tulowitzki again in a minute, but Joe, Alex did make two moves today, not as sexy perhaps as those other acquisitions. But boy, both Mark Lowe and Ben Revere, they really fill a need, don't they?
Both nice pieces, guys. I think after all that went on these last few days, I think under our breath, you can't expect Alex to do more, and he did, but you can't expect a whole lot more. But I said to myself, I said, you know, even another bullpen piece, a little depth, or even maybe a mid-range type starter to solidify the depth there. Would be nice. And then he also added a piece in the outfield. Those are, I mean, really all the boxes have been checked now. I think if you were to backtrack a week or so or even more to say what this team would actually need to make a postseason run. And we've been saying it all season. I'll be the first one to say that I would not have given up young arms for a piece because I think this team is more than one piece away from competing. Well, I guess he took that to the next level, and now I guess this team is very well worthy of competing.
Well, and I think, Joe, look, you made the point. This isn't just any rental. Like, David Price is not just – he's not Johnny Cueto. He's not Scott Kazmir. He's not a guy he's not of that mold. This is the guy who's going to make those starts and probably win those starts for you.
Absolutely. This is the guy you want on the mound anytime the season is on the line, and it may come down to that in late September or into a playoff game of any sort. He's going to be your guy, and the one thing that the Blue Jays have not had is that. And I'll say I've never been one to say that you have to have that head honcho ace because we look what the Orioles did last year. They made a pretty nice run in the playoffs there with a rotation of guys that just had real nice seasons, all of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are shaping up here like that with Burley and Dickey and Estrada, the way they've been pitching these last couple of months. So that has to continue to happen, first of all. But, boy, you bring a David Price in. Now you've got your headliner that if it does come down to that last day of the season or a wild card game or anything else, and hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully the Blue Jays get into the playoffs without having to do all that. But if it does, you've got your guy, and I think that's exactly what you do. You give up anything for him. It is a rental, but he's the guy that really tells everyone, and you send that message to the clubhouse, this team is all in. They're going for it right now. And when you're doing that, you go ahead and give up the arms that they gave up to acquire a guy like that. He's David Price.
Joe, I've asked this of other people, kind of my own little straw poll here, and I know how sports psychology works, and we heard the comments from Jose Bautista last year when a move was not made, basically saying, hey, what the heck is going on here? Are we trying to win or not? So the Blue Jays go out and do all this. Other teams, and Jeff and I have talked about this, as much as Alex has made these moves to get these guys for the Blue Jays, he's also kept them away from other teams. Do other teams now, in a very kind of slight, small way, look at the Jays and go, man, these guys are really going for it. They are going to be tough to handle. Not that they're not going to go out and fight them tooth and nail, but there's a different kind of respect, a different kind of look, a different kind of eye to the Blue Jays when you play them.
Well, I think all of Major League Baseball is looking at the Toronto Blue Jays very differently now than they were even 4 days ago. I would turn the tables and say this. What if the New York Yankees went out and acquired David Price and, let's say, Craig Kimbrell, that closer? There are a lot of rumors that they were close to that today. What do you think people in Toronto would be thinking or throughout the AL East that are trying to compete with the Yankees? It's almost right. Like that would be that final dagger that the Yankees have got this thing and they're running away with it. It'd be tough. So when you flip the tables like that, I think a lot of people have stood up and took notice. But I think more importantly, too, just look from within. And, you know, you always like to say in this game, tend to your own garden, worry about what you control.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys in the Blue Jays clubhouse, hey, listen, guys, we're all excited. The fans are excited. The city's excited. What do you think the guys in the Blue Jays clubhouse are feeling? This is an exciting time for this club, and it's an exciting time for all those guys downstairs to be able to go out and compete right now and give this thing a run for the next couple of months.
We're joined by Joe Siddle, Toronto Blue Jays color analyst on Primetime Sports. We saw last night, I think, Joe, with LaTroy Hawkins and then Aaron Sanchez and then Roberto Osuna finishing off a very good Kansas City Royals team. I think we saw finally the type of bullpen that John Gibbons has been craving all season long. Where do you see Mark Lowe fitting into that occasion? And tell us a little bit about what people are saying about him, because his numbers are great. But, you know, let's face it, he pitches in Seattle, and not a lot of us spend a great deal of time watching the Seattle Mariners.
Well, I think first and foremost, on the broadcast last night, Jerry and I were talking about this. When Cecil came in the sixth inning to relieve Estrada, I think I made the comment. I said, wouldn't this be interesting if the Blue Jays had Cecil to finish the sixth and went Hawkins, Sanchez, and Osuna to win this ball game, kind of beating the Royals at their own game. They showed baseball that it works pretty well, and sure enough, it happened that way. It couldn't have happened any better. And you're right. If you're John Gibbons, isn't that a nice little threesome to throw down there after Cecil in the sixth? Mark Lowe, I think, is going to fit right in that mix, because I think what you have to remember, too, is last night those three guys were used. Well, maybe tonight one of them's not. Now, Mark Lowe is not here yet, but let's peer into the future a little bit. If that's going to happen, you know, these guys may not be available every night. And I commented on that regarding the playoffs last season, is when you have guys like that, like the Royals do, and they've kind of set this bullpen standard now in baseball, that works wonderfully in the playoffs, because you get those days off. You can almost pitch these guys every day. You play two games, you get a day off to travel, you play a few more games. So it really works well. But right now, during the season, you've got to kind of battle through, and the Royals did that last year to get to the playoffs, but that's what Toronto's going to have to do now. So Mark Lowe, I think, will fit right in there with LaTroy Hawkins, with Aaron Sanchez in the seventh and eighth, and hey, maybe even Roberto Osuna needs a day off one time, and he's not available for the save. Maybe Sanchez gets the save, maybe Lowe fits in the eighth. We just saw Mark Lowe last week in Seattle. You're right, the career numbers are outstanding. You look at this year, though, and it's outstanding, and he's got electric stuff. He's fastball slider, averaging 95 miles per hour, and I like what I saw last week. But, hey, you're getting a guy while he's hot. He's having a career year. It's a wonderful thing.
Joe, you talk about a guy like Lowe, you know, Revere today. It's about role players too, isn't it? I mean, you can have a stud in a guy like David Price, a guy like Tulowitzki, but, you know, the nicest car needs a little key to get it started, something to get it going. And talk about these other pieces and – you know, state the importance, because you can't just depend on the big guys all the time. Everybody's got to do their part.
Well, you're exactly right. It takes a 25-man roster, and it's going to take even more than that, because we know that there'll be call-ups in here probably in September that are going to help. There's probably kids in Buffalo right now that are going to help this team win big league ball games and try to get them to the playoffs. But I talk about pieces of the puzzle. Ben Revere becomes another piece to that puzzle now. Now, I think with what Danny Valencia and Chris Colabella bring to the lineup as right-handers facing lefties, I don't think John Gibbons is just going to abort that right now because Ben Revere is here. I think Ben Revere is probably going to be more of a platoon-type lefty, probably with Valencia in left field. He'll play against the righties, but I still think you want both those right-handed bats in there against lefties. He'll be in the ballgame probably late for defense, kind of doing what Ezekiel Carrera has done at times as well. So, again, those are all pieces. The other thing is, listen, Kevin Plotter hasn't had a whole lot of time off this year, guys, and you want to keep him healthy and strong into August and September. Maybe Ben Revere could play center field on the odd occasion to give Kevin a day off. Those are the pieces we're talking about, and when you say role players, those are the roles. The other thing is Valencia and Colabella's right-handed bats may be on the bench and can be used late in the ballgame to face a lefty reliever. So those are all the roles that you're talking about, and you're right on. It's not all about the star power. Of course, those guys carry the brunt of it and the big part of the load, but all of the pieces it's going to take if this team plans to contend.
In conversation with Joe Siddle, Blue Jays color analyst on Primetime Sports, we know right now, at least, that Troy Tulowitzki is going to be leading off, and I think John Gibbons said on Baseball Central that, you know, his approach is absent that leadoff guy, he's essentially going to try to load the top of the order with his best hitters and hope that you get an extra at bat, which is certainly sound logic and something that that a lot of teams have done. Where do you see Ben Revere slotting in on this team? Because I know he's not a high OBP guy. I mean, he's a little bit like Kevin Pillar in some ways. He doesn't have Pillar's power necessarily, but he's not a high OBP guy. We know he does hit right-handers very well. But do you think we're going to see Troy Tulowitzki as the leadoff hitter for the rest of the year, at least Joe, until Devin Travis returns healthy?
I think so, Jeff. I think that's the way he's going. Obviously, Ben Revere could be a leadoff hitter. You've got a little speed. He's a very pesky hitter. He's a contact guy that puts the ball in play a lot. And field bases, of course, all of those things really point to the direction of being a leadoff hitter. But the most important thing probably, too, is you've got a guy like that you can put at the bottom of the order as well and almost turn that thing over. I think right now, and John Gibbons talked about it a bit today, was he'll probably continue going with Tulo at the top for now until things change. And, you know, you hope Travis is not out too long. I think when Travis comes back, I don't think you would hesitate to put him back up there. But until then, I think you're going to see Ben Revere more at the bottom of the order and have he and Pillar turning that lineup over.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing, too, what that does in the absence of Devin Travis, if you get Ben Revere on first base, Troy Tulowitzki is going to get some fastballs.
Exactly, and that's what Alex talked about that too when he was describing Revere today, about a contact type guy, speed, and he actually called him a pest. He described it as a pest. And, you know, much like we talked about Jose Reyes, when he gets on base, these guys that have that dynamic type speed, they cause problems for pitchers, they worry about holding runners on, and then, yeah, they hang that curveball to one of those guys, one of the big boppers in the lineup. And that's what I think he can do. So whether you put him at the bottom, I mean, really, I've always said the leadoff hitter leads off the first inning.
Yep.
After that, it's 7-8-9-1, and then I think, yeah, if you've got Tulo leading off after Pillar and Revere at the bottom, that's a beautiful thing.
Should be a lot of fun tonight, Joe. I look forward to you, Jerry, and Mike in the booth. First pitch at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on the Sportsnet Regional Networks as the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals play the second of a four-game series. Thank you, Joe.
All right, guys, have a great night.
Okay, Joe. Care.
It's Joe Siddle, Blue Jays color analyst, and as we said, we're about 45 minutes, a little more than 45 minutes away from first pitch at the Rogers Center.
I was waiting for your Apollo Creed line when we brought Joe on.
What?
You next, Joe. You next, oh. Joe. Mitt Rooney.
I don't remember. See,
In Rocky, when he fought Rocky?
I don't remember lines from movies.
I do, the stupid ones. My wife always says that I'm going to die with useless information in my head. And it's true, but...
Dazed and Confused, I remember most of the script, but That's about it.
When Rocky was fighting Apollo Creed, and they always bring the old fighters in to, you know, and Joe Frazier played himself in the movie, the late Joe Frazier, and Apollo said, "You next, Joe."
You lived in the city for a long time. You've been involved in sports for a long time in this city. What's your impression, Jonesy, of the last 72 hours? I mean, starting with the Tulowitzki and Hawkins deal, and then David Price. I mean, two deals that we just didn't see coming. And today Alex finishes off with a couple of sort of adding, as he says, a couple of finishing pieces. It's been quite a week.
It's buzzing. It's buzzing. And I liken it, and I know we're across the network, but in Toronto to big things in cities. Thinking back to in Vancouver when the Canucks were playing for a cup. across Canada. When I mean anywhere where your teams are in CFL football when they're in the Grey Cup,
mm-hmm.
or if they're in a conference final. I think of the playoff runs by the Raptors, you know, big trades. And look, and I'll say this as a kid that spent a lot of time growing up in New York in the summer and was, you know, my first game I saw, I was a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm. We do have a cure for that.
I know. And I'm still, I'm glad they got Cespedes. but it brings me back to, and again, I was in a different place at a different time chasing that team in 87.
Mm-hmm.
In 89, when the earthquake hit, I could have been in San Francisco that night because the Jays had just lost to the mm-hmm. A's. Instead, we were covering a Leo Routon's comeback
mm-hmm.
Down the road in Hamilton at Cops Coliseum. And it's got that kind of buzz to it. I was at the triple play game when Kelly Gruber ran down. Mm-hmm. The city was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't done anything yet. But Alex has put them in a position to do something, and the city is going crazy. And I'll say this again. I know I shouldn't be talking local, but my kids got up this morning, and two of them went to work. I ended up buying tickets on the internet. We're going to sit somewhere as soon as I leave here. I'm going mm-hmm. to the yard, somewhere up near the top row of the Rogers Center, because they want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted new Blue Jays shirts, and they wanted new Blue Jays hats, and that's, I think it's symptomatic of what's happening in the city. Guys see me in the grocery store
mm-hmm.
and they know I'm a basketball guy, but I'm also a sports guy. And they're, hey, what about the Jays? Price, can they re-sign him? And it's the talk, and you're in everybody's headspace. Now it's up to the players to go and win, because it could be wild around here in October.
Well, and I just want to say this to people, because the whole question as to whether or not David Price re-signs with the Blue Jays, and I'll admit it, my gut instinct is that David Price is going to go someplace and get about $230 to $250 million over 7 or 8 years. And that place, I think, will more than likely be Los Angeles. But a couple of things to keep in mind. One, David Price is a smart guy. David Price re-signed in Tampa. David Price has pitched in Tampa. He's pitched in Detroit. And yeah, you know what? It had to be hard for David Price to pitch at times in Tampa in an empty ballpark. Very seldom did you hear David Price complain about that. It's a different cat. He's got a bit of a worldview about him. He understands sensibilities. He understands sensitivities. We've already seen that on Twitter. I just retweeted the picture of that kid that had put together his own David Price jersey, and David Price just retweeted and said, hey, what's your size? I'm going to buy you a real jersey.
Mm.
Let's kind of make a promise here. Let's just agree that we're going to enjoy having this guy in the city for the next 2 months pitching for the baseball team, and let's not worry about whether or not he is going to re-sign. Let's not worry about whether or not Daniel Norris is going to turn into Cy Young, whatever. Let's just enjoy having a guy who engages fans, who has a sense of reality, who has a bit more of a view that extends beyond the ballpark. Let's enjoy having David Price in Toronto. Let's watch him pitch. Let's support him. Let's not worry about the whole re-signing thing. That'll take care of itself. And I'll say this. I know there are a lot of people in baseball automatically assume that David Price is going to go elsewhere as a free agent. He's a different cat. This may be that guy. And you don't know. This may be that guy who looks around and goes, hey, you know what? It's pretty cool here. I know I'm going to pitch every day because there's a roof in the ballpark. I win in this ballpark. For the next 5 years, 4 years, I'm going to have Donaldson, Tulowitzki, and Martin.
Right.
Regardless of what happens, regardless of Batista's gone or Encarnacion's gone, I got the best shortstop in the game. I've got Russ Martin, and I got a guy at third base who's going to be a perennial MVP candidate. The guys I got in my rotation are good young guys. It's a rotation that next year could very much look like the rotations that David Price was in Tampa when he had a big leadership role. So I'm just throwing that out there now because I know we're going to be talking about it. I just want to enjoy David Price. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about Daniel Norris. I don't care about prospects. I don't care about how much money it's going to take. I don't care if he's going to sign with the Dodgers. I just want to enjoy having David Price on the mound.
If David Price becomes happy here in Toronto, you know what the old line is, don't mess with happy.
Yeah.
And if the Jays are, quote, recruiting him, I mean, the little things, right? He made the comment about the popcorn and those, and people, well, oh, isn't that cute? No, no, no. That's the way you treat people when you're telling them something like, hey, we value you here. We want you here. Though, I mean, it sounds trite. It sounds foolish, but you heard Cliff Floyd. Players look at how they're treated.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the city. He has been embraced here. He will be embraced. And it might be tough. Not that he's going to give a hometown discount, but it might be tough, all things being equal, to just pick up and walk away. Because sometimes the devil you know is better than the one you don't.
And I'll tell you what you want is you want a seat at the table.
Yep.
And you know what? If you don't trade for David Price, I guarantee you, you're not going to have a seat at the table. You weren't going to be able to make him an offer. So I'm throwing that out there. I want to enjoy having David Price. And keep in mind, Roy Halladay re-signed here and delayed free agency a bit. So let's just keep all this stuff in mind. But mostly, just enjoy David Price. Interact with him on Twitter. Enjoy what you're going to get out of this guy and really cherish these next 2 months because they could be really, really, really special months for the Toronto Blue Jays and for Toronto sports fans.
A couple of guys, my followers on Twitter, and I thought it was I said maybe because I wasn't sure, but David Price is a Nike Jordan brand athlete. So
there he is.
So hence the, you know, the Jumpman shoes. And
I'm still a little concerned about that.
He's like, You said it. I mean, he's bright. The guy went to Vanderbilt, okay?
And you know what the name of the...
I couldn't get into Vanderbilt if I combined my marks and your marks.
You know what the name? You know what the name of the music school is in Vanderbilt?
No, I don't.
It's Blair School of Music.
Oh.
Just saying. Jonah Carey of Grantland will join us when Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Do you know that they're coming to the CNE, Mr. Jones?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
I have seen many a concert at the band shell back in the day.
Foghat is amazing. Just half an hour away from Blue Jays baseball and Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the four regional Sportsnet television stations. Game two of a four-game series between the Jays and the Kansas City Royals. Johnny Cueto, who is the Royals rental player, will be up against Drew Hutchison, who usually pitches well at home. And first pitch will be around 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Regional Channels. It's been quite a hectic week. The non-waiver trade deadline passed today. The Toronto Blue Jays adding a reliever, Mark Lowe from Seattle, Ben Revere, who will be a platoon outfielder for the Blue Jays from the Philadelphia Phillies. Alex Anthopoulos essentially emptying the organization of most of its pitching prospects, save for perhaps Sean Reed Foley and John Harris. There's still a few pitchers in the cupboard, but safe to say that not as many as there were before all this activity. It's been a strange trade deadline. Lots of stuff happening in the days leading up to the deadline. Today, more than anything else, teams putting finishing touches on deals. Jonah Carey of Grantland has been breathlessly following the deadline, and he joins us from a cab someplace in, I don't know where. How you doing, Mr. Carey?
New York City, actually. I was in town reporting on a story about the Mets, and all the crazy Mets stuff that happened this week was either with me at Citi Field or in the process of reporting and or writing on the story, in addition to the trade deadline, in addition to being in Cooperstown last weekend. So, yes, it has been a hectic and also a fun week for everybody, I guess.
How surprised are you at what Alex Anthopoulos did?
I was surprised by Tulowitzki. Mm-hmm. I was not that surprised by Price. I mean, it just, I get that people were skeptical about what was going to happen, and I'll believe a pitcher when I see him and blah, blah, blah. But come on, there was no way that they were going to stand pat. There was certainly no way they weren't going to get a starting pitcher. To his credit, I mean, Price is the best guy who was out there, obviously. That's a big upgrade over getting, whatever, Mike Leake or somebody like that. But something was certainly going to happen. But the idea that they went out and got Tulowitzki as well, which I really liked at the time, I thought, you know, people were upset about it because the order of operations in their mind wasn't right. Oh, we don't have a pitcher. Why are we wasting our time on Tulowitzki? Well, he's the best shortstop in baseball. He's great on offense. And guess what? He helps your defense, which in turn helps your pitching. So I like that. And then, you know, credit for Revere and Lowe. Mark Lowe does not have the name of Aroldis Chapman or Craig Kimbrell. But man, oh man, he is dynamite this year. 44 strikeouts in 36 innings. A dominant relief pitcher this year. Doesn't necessarily have the monster resume, but has been really good. That slider's a beauty. He throws it about 50% of the time. Opposing hitters are hitting 170 against it. You're going to see a bunch of two-strike sliders in the seventh and eighth inning in games down the stretch this year for the Blue Jays, which is to their credit.
Conversation with Jonah Carey on Primetime Sports. You, of course, did the book on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've had several occasions to talk to David Price. Let me ask you this, Joan. If the Toronto Blue Jays, the end of the season, go to the playoffs, approach David Price and say, we'll give you $235 million to stay here for 7 years and avoid free agency, what do you think he does?
Well, why would he do that? I mean, even if he loved Toronto with all his heart, and even if $235 mm-hmm. million is a lot of money, what is the harm in going out on the open market? I think that
that's why I'm asking it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only way that even remotely is a feasible scenario, and I don't think it is a feasible scenario, would be if they make the offer now. Because if they make the offer now, there are still, whatever, 60, 70, 80, 90 innings for Price to pitch between now and then. It's possible that he has TJ. It's possible that he mm-hmm. messes up his shoulder or whatever. But once you get to free agency, you know, while he's kicking it on the beach or whatever, he's not going to get injured. So the $200 million is going to be available to anybody, right. From anybody, rather, and that's not going to change. So, you know, it's not inconceivable that they could sign him, but they're not going to sign him without him testing the market. And I do think, for what it's worth, once he tests the market, and I'm not a mind reader or whatever, but my guess is once he tests the market that a team like the Dodgers or the Cubs would be more likely. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they win the World Series this year, and maybe David Price is the guy in the middle of the dog pile, and many second thoughts. Crazier things have happened.
Jonah, I mean, Toronto has, in my eyes, they've stolen the spotlight. You know, Alex has turned it over, and basically, if people thought the window wasn't open, he made these moves, and the window's open now, and they're banging to open it even louder or even wider. Who surprised you, and who disappointed you in this as we hit the trade deadline?
I didn't understand why the Padres didn't make moves. That was really confusing to me. And my piece, if it's not up already, it should be up at grantland.com. I was doing it in real time. And so I believe it's edited and on the site, or it should be soon. But you know, one of the four major things that I tackled just in terms of today's action was the Padres' lack of action. And you look at how many free agents to be. They have Will Venable, Ian Kennedy, Sean Kelly, and notably Justin Upton. And none of those guys got traded. Now, of course, we have the August 31st waiver deadline in which you can still make trades, but it just gets a little more complicated logistically. And with Justin Upton, if they really can't find an offer, they can make him a qualifying offer and they'll get a nice high draft pick. But still, I mean, there were just a whole bunch, you know, Van Jay Haps of the world and Jonathan Broxton's. I mean, it's not like there were only superstars that were getting traded. There had to be a market for whoever, Kelly or Kennedy or whatever, let alone Upton, who was really a good bat and could have helped a whole bunch of teams. I didn't get it. And we know that A.J. Preller is really, really aggressive because he was willing to buy a ton this offseason, you know, one of the biggest buying sprees we've ever seen. So that really surprised me. In terms of other teams that did well for themselves, I was impressed by the Mets. You know, the Mets, they're hamstrung by finances. No matter what Sandy Alderson says, it is the case that, you know, when you're bosses are embroiled in a Ponzi scheme. They don't have that much to work with. I'm sorry, but that's true. That's just stating fact. But the fact that they were able to get pretty big players here, Tyler Clifford, Juan Uribe, and Kelly Johnson leading into this, all good kind of complementary pieces. And then, of course, Cespedes, a real good all-around player, and granted a free agent to be, but still somebody who's going to help you for the next couple months. I liked it. I liked it because they addressed the needs in their roster. They found a way to do that without spending a ton of money, which was their big limitation. And they didn't give up any monster prospects. People were ripping them because they backed out of the Carlos Gomez trade, but that would have cost them a real good young right-hander in Zach Wheeler, who might be out with Tommy John surgery, but would have been a big loss. They lost a guy named Michael Fulmer, who has a chance to be a good pitcher, but not of the same caliber as their main guys. They keep the core intact. They don't touch any of their top minor leaguers, and they upgrade the roster. To me, even if the Mets don't make the playoffs this year, this strikes me as a vote of confidence for their fans and speaks well to the future as well.
You know, the Padres are really kind of an interesting story to me because, you know, I looked at what A.J. Preller did in the offseason, and, you know, people are saying, well, and you point out guys, the guys that are eligible to walk, and, you know, certainly you would think you'd try to get something for them, but there were people talking about guys like Cashner, Shields, Ross, and I kept thinking to myself, why would you move those guys? Because you're going to need them next year.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. I think it also partly depends on what you feel about Shields' contract now that we're 4 months into it or whatever. He's not been that great.
Right.
It's a $75 million contract, so maybe you're having second thoughts about that because all of a sudden you're staring down the barrel of a guy in his mid-30s who's probably not going to get better from here. I mean, he's pretty good, but not great. And so that's a consideration. And with Ross and Cashner, yeah, I agree with you to some extent. I think that ultimately comes down to what were the offers going to be. Same thing with the Indians. Carlos Carrasco's name started coming up. And, you know, on one hand, you say, well, that's totally crazy. Why would you trade Carlos Carrasco? Very good young, well, not that young, but relatively young 20-something pitcher, signed to a terrific contract. You know, pennies on the dollar, relatively speaking. But by the same token, everything that would make him attractive to the Indians would make him attractive to literally 29 other teams. So you at least explore those options. But I agree with you. I mean, if they don't find what they want for those guys, there's no rush to trade them. It was really the free agents to be that was kind of weird to me why those guys didn't go.
Hey, Jonah, one of the things that kind of fascinated me about Alex's move for David Price, I'm not going to say that this is Alex manipulating the market or anything, but I found it interesting that, and in some ways, I think he kind of lucked into it because, you know, Kansas City had some prospects. They were looking for pitching. They moved for Johnny Cueto. Texas moved for Cole Hamels. I mean, when Cueto, Hamels, I guess to a certain degree, Kazmir went off the market, it was almost as if a lot of teams that may have ponied up for David Price with prospect capital, which is the new Alex Anthopoulos word of the week, prospect
like
capital or phrase, I should say. It's almost as if it got to a point where there really were only a couple of teams who could realistically throw the prospects at David Dombrowski in order to get this deal done. And Alex kind of lucked out, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that. I think the order of operations went well. The Dodgers obviously have tons of prospects, but they weren't willing to get there. The problem is those prospects were too good.
Sure.
You weren't trading Urias, you weren't trading Corey Seager for one of these guys, and they didn't have that kind of A-minus, you know, like Daniel Norris.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very good young pitcher, but it's not Corey Seager.
No, Corey Seager's off. I mean, that's in a different level.
That's a different level. That's like trading Chris Bryant on the cusp of the big leagues. That ain't happening.
Right.
And then you look at a team like the Giants, certainly they wanted Cole Hamels or David Price or whatever, but they don't have that level of young guy to trade unless they want to start picking pieces off the major league roster and trade away Joe Panik and guys like that, which was also not going to happen. So, yeah, it kind of lined up really well. I think with anything in life, right, what does Branch Rickey say, that luck is the residue of design? I give Alex plenty of credit. I think that he pulled off a whole bunch of great moves, and I don't, you know, as you said, they traded away a lot of good pitching prospects, but I don't look at the Blue Jays and say, oh, gosh, they're going to be the Phillies in 2 years. They still have young talent. I mean, Stroman and Sanchez are not necessarily prospects anymore, but they're still big part of the future as well. I think this all worked out well. We'll credit some luck here, and we'll also credit some skill and just some well-executed moves.
Jonah, the American League East, the Yankees sitting on top now, very quiet, didn't do anything. I mean, not that they didn't want to, but do they just kind of look at it and say, well, we didn't, but what we have is good enough going forward?
Well, 6-game lead is pretty big. I mean, we cannot underestimate that. Yes, you could point to, you know, the Red Sox collapse and the game 162 business with the Rays and whatever, whichever famous one you want to cite. You want to go Giants, Dodgers, 1951, we could do that too. But the reason we cite them is because they're outliers. They're memorable. 6 games is a lot. And even if the Blue Jays are a better team on paper than the Yankees are, and I would submit to you that they certainly are at this point, despite the difference in records, it's not easy to catch up 6 games with 50-odd or even 60 to go. So we'll see how that goes. To me, the Yankees' biggest concern right now is their starting rotation. CC Sabathia, I cannot believe he's still in the rotation. I don't think he is if he's not making a bazillion dollars. Michael Pineda just went on the disabled list. He's one of their better starters. They're really going to lean on guys like Nathan Eovaldi now, mm-hmm. who's been pitching better lately, but not the steadiest guy in the world by any means. And it'll be interesting to see. These two teams have some games left against each other. And if the Jays go in there and they're rolling out Price and Burley and one other with that lineup against whoever the Yankees are trotting out, the Jays become heavy favorites in a head-to-head. So we'll see. I mean, I think that the Yankees certainly have to still be considered the favorites just by virtue of that lead. But I don't think the division is done by any means. The Jays have a chance, and even the Orioles, I would say, at least mm-hmm. have an outside chance here.
Jonah, it's when I look at the Houston Astros and how far they've come and what their general manager did at the trade deadline. Are we on the verge, do you think, of seeing one of the more remarkable emergences in baseball? Like, not just record-wise, but the way they play. And they've become, in a lot of ways, I think a lot of people's second favorite team for a variety of reasons. How good a story? How big a story is this? And what did you think of what they did at the deadline?
Well, first of all, in terms of story, it's huge, but oddly, I think it's been played down a little bit because we've come to accept that the Astros are a good team. They've been good from day one this season.
Right.
Dallas Keuchel starting the All-Star game. So it's an odd thing that it's become part of the establishment that you say, you start naming the good teams. Sure, the Angels are good and the Cardinals are good and the Dodgers are good. Oh, and the Astros are good too. That's funny, but that's the case. In terms of what they did at the deadline, liked it a lot, and I've made a bunch of horrifically bad predictions this year. My World Series picks are terrible. Go Google them and you'll laugh. But
no worse than mine, my friend.
Mariners and Marlins?
Yours are worse than mine.
I did pick the Blue Jays to win the AL East, and I think they still have a chance at that for what it's worth. Anyway, but one of the things I did pick correctly was I had not only Kazmir going to Houston, but also Gomez going to Houston. I just thought that those two moves made sense because the Astros were 25th in by the fancy stats in offense from their center fielders this year. Mariznick was an unacceptable option. And to get Gomez, even if it's not the MVP-level Gomez that he was from a couple years ago or even last year, big move like that, like Kazmir, and even a guy like Mike Fiers, who's a number four star or whatever, but he's still got 4 years of control left after this one, and he's capable. He's a strikeout and an inning guy, and in baseball, the number one starter really doesn't start more often than the number four or number five starter. You still got to roll these guys out with the possible exception of occasional days off. So to have that ability to ratchet up that bottom of the rotation and moreover to provide a little bit of a hedge, Lance McCullers, who I love, mm-hmm. love, huge fan of Lance McCullers, but he's a rookie. Is he going to start 280 innings this year? No, they're probably going to have to shut him down at some point. So getting Kazmir, great, but even getting a guy like Fiers gives you that kind of hedge, and that's the kind of thing I like. Same thing, by the way, with Alex, getting a guy like Revere. Is Revere the best? No, but is he somebody who's a better defender than Chris Colabello? Oh, heck yeah. So, just finding your biggest weakness, ferreting it out and getting an okay guy can make a difference, sometimes even almost as big a difference as going out and getting a David Price or a Cole Hamels.
Jonah, all the dust is kind of settled now, and unless somebody can sneak somebody past on waivers, and Alex, we were talking to Alex about that, and I still now shake my head, and it's ages ago, but I still shake my head as how the Jays got David Cone in 92 after the non-waiver trade deadline. That being said, the dust has settled, and I'm looking out to the West. For the most part, relatively quiet were the Dodgers.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there? And Jeff and I have kind of hypothesized that maybe they're just waiting to take their money out of the vault and throw it at people in December and January.
I think David Price is going to go to the Dodgers this offseason. That's my expectation. That's a very popular opinion. But, they were quiet and they weren't. I mean, they did make a 13-player trade with the Braves and the Marlins. And I like that incremental move. And that's so Andrew Friedman, by the way. And granted, they have a gigantically larger payroll now than Friedman did when he was with the Rays. But the ability to go out and just find value in different ways, you know, if they wanted to get Price, as we said, they couldn't give up their top guys, and then their next-tier prospects weren't quite the right fit. So they just, you know, played the hand that they were dealt. And they said, okay, we like Alex Wood. I think Alex Wood is going to get injured. Might even have Tommy John surgery in the next couple of years. His mechanics are all messed up. But for now, fine. Leto's fine at the back of the rotation. You're going to roll into a playoffs with Kershaw and Greinke, which is better than anybody has. So that's great.
Even the way Kershaw has pitched, I mean, he's been great regular season, but come playoff time, it just seems like a different dude turns up.
That means absolutely zero to me. The 20 innings does not trump 1,500 innings or whatever Kershaw has. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't buy that. Barry Bonds was supposedly a choker in the playoffs until he went out in the 2002 World Series and made Angels fans cry for their mommy game after game. And it's a miracle that the Angels won the World Series. I don't buy this small sample nonsense. This guy's not a choker. It's a fluke. So I look at that.
My guess is he's in the tunnel. He's going. If he's in New York, he's probably going through the Midtown Tunnel.
Either that or somebody who's not a Kershaw fan. Hey, what do you mean?
No. That's that Midtown Tunnel thing. I think.
Depends.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
The
Holland, Lincoln, one of them tunnels got him. Although he could be somewhere on the Long Island Expressway if he was headed for Citi Field. Should have taken the 7 train.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take the cab. You've had a long day at work. Sometimes you take the cab.
The 7 train is about as entertaining as it gets, isn't it?
It certainly is. We got Jonah back. I hypothesize that you may have gone through one of the tunnels, but that's clearly not the case, is it?
Not quite a tunnel, but it was an overpass anyway. Making my way. But what I was going to say was the Dodgers are a very good team. And by the way, the Cardinals stood pat even more dramatically than the Dodgers did. But the Cardinals are also really good. And I think that you weigh all this stuff. If you look at, you know, in case of the Dodgers, they were being creative. They got Wood. They got a kid named Jose Peraza, who's interesting. He could be a good future player. And they gave up Hector Oliveira. You know, really what they did ultimately was they improved their team by flexing their financial muscle. They're taking on money that other teams weren't willing to take on and made themselves better without giving up any really good prospects. And in the case of the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals standing pat, you say, well, that's terrible. But think about what would have happened if the Cardinals had given up, let's say, Colton Wong a few years ago.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have wanted that, or Matt Carpenter or whatever. There's something to be said for these. Now, not all prospects work out, but there's something to be said for picking your spots and being judicious. And I think that you can, in the same sentence, say, I liked Alex Anthopoulos giving up Hoffman and Boyd and all that, and also say, I like the Dodgers not giving up Urias or Seager or whatever. Those things can track as in the same way, depending on where you are in the curve, what your team looks like, and what you want to do.
Jonah, we're going to let you run. Are you going to get a chance to have a meal tonight in New York, or are you working?
I'm hopping on a plane. I'm actually on my way to LaGuardia, but I've had many meals this week, and they've all been really, really, really good. I worked trade deadline in a place called the Library Bar, which is in the Nomad Hotel in New York.
Nice.
A two-level library in which they serve you drinks and desserts and burgers with foie gras on them. Please go there.
And where is it, Jonah?
Where is it? We're right in the
Hey, man, I'm a Queens guy, so you got to tell me where it is.
28th and Broadway. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Library Bar.
Every time I go to NYC now.
Hey, listen, Jonah, thanks for doing this. Have a safe flight, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great weekend.
It's Jonah Carey, really one of the best people you want to spend time with around the trade deadline.
Of course. It's like Soho, right? 28th? Like, you're just north of Soho. Like,
that sounds great. A library?
That's shishi. That's
a library
Soho.
Where they serve burgers with foie gras?
That's New York.
Alcohol?
That's New York.
That is. That's tremendous. Now I'm that's definitely down on the list. We've got a bar in New York called Poets where they won't let you in. If you have a cell phone, you have to drop it in a box. Dude puts it in the back and locks it up. All cell phones, Blackberries, all that stuff. They're in a metal box. He locks it behind the door. The only reason you go in there is to talk, drink, watch TV.
There you go.
No cell phones allowed.
There you go.
Mr. Jones, thanks for doing that, doing this today and doing it all week. It's
great
been a
week.
Lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah, Alex. God bless you, Alex Anthopoulos. You made it easy on all of us. So.
Hey, kudos to the guys behind the glass, too, talking about running and the people here to...
Yeah.
Keep this thing moving, too. Way to go, guys.
And also to the Jays PR staff, the Jay Stenhouse and Mel Romanen, for kind of juggling all these things and getting us all the players and everything. So for Paul Jones and everybody here at Primetime Sports, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week. Enjoy your long weekend. McCowan will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.